And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of them, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house, Lord. Thank you for the service already and just the way, God, you spoke to my heart in the songs. And Lord, thank you for the good job Max did on the trumpet. And Lord, pray that you help the Bible club that's going on right now. And pray that you'd bless that. Help this message, Lord, just be a help to your people. And Lord, it was a challenge to my heart. And Lord, help me to only say what I should. Guide my lips, guide my thoughts, and just help me to honor you above all things. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm going to talk about if I had to title it, it's Losing Sight of the Bank. Losing Sight of the Bank. In Matthew chapter number 14, we see a series of events. There's several different events here. And one of them was a feeding of the 5,000. Now, you know, I would say that of all the miracles that Jesus did, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 ranks pretty high up there as far as the most notable, the most, you know, hey, this is something that Jesus, you know, if you ask most kids, what did Jesus do? Well, he had the feeding of the 5,000 would be one of them. So this is kind of a high moment. And then Jesus sends, the Bible says in straightway, verse number 22, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. And so we see then the disciples, they're in a ship. So I don't know. I contemplate life a lot. Well, not a lot. Some at times. And I try to what's applicable in my life at the moment. So that's kind of where I teach from or whatever. So we just went on the kayaking trip with the boys. And we left Monday morning, and we started straight east of, I've already told the Sunday school class this, but the rest of you weren't in here. So we started straight east of my house and on the Eel River, and so we floated about 14 miles, I say floated and paddled 15 miles to Worthington. So straight from my house to Worthington, and then we hit the White River there in Worthington, and then we went from Worthington to Bloomfield is where we got out at. And we had a lot of fun. And so I was thinking about that. And I did a devotion with the boys one morning, the only morning that we did a devotion because we chickened out and quit early, which nobody complained about. Myself included. I ain't knocking the boys. Or the young men. I chickened out too. So we were paddling, and if you look for things, you're gonna find what you're looking for. Okay? And there's truths everywhere. And I could probably have five or six different truths, individual truths. And I shared one with the boys about the young men, about having understanding, about reading the river, and about, and those of you guys that, Brother Tom, and I didn't know Brother Ryan, have been on the river, and there's probably others in here, been on the river much, you know, you got to be able to tell what's coming up, okay? Not a good idea just to be, you know, haphazardly just, you know, whatever's going on, because there's a lot of debris, there's a lot of things in the river that could cause you problems. And so we were paddling down. I told him, all right, guys, you need to watch the river. You need to understand what's coming up. You need to be thinking about it. And that's a good principle of life. So but one of the things that I hadn't really thought about until I got home, and honestly, the Lord kind of convicted my heart about it, and I'm going to apologize to the guys here in a little bit about this, but I want to share that with you tonight, and maybe it'll be a help to somebody here. So I'm going to give you some observations of the river, all right, or the life on the river. For us, anyway, everyone must go themselves, all right? We all had our own. We all had our own kayak. We all had our own paddle. It was, I wasn't towing anyone. No one was towing me, okay? We all had to do it ourselves. And I think that's very applicable in life, all right? I mean, you can observe and you can learn and you can, but in all reality, you have to make your own choices, okay? And, but you're all kind of, you're on the river. You can't see outside the banks. And I hadn't really thought of this until later. You know, there's a lot of world outside of the little, you know, 20-yard wide river that we were on. But the truth of the matter is, I couldn't see it. The young men would ask me many times, "Bro Chad, where are we at?" It's kind of like going on a youth trip. You're in the middle of Jasonville. "Brother Chad, are we there yet?" "No, we are not there yet." "Brother Chad, where are we at?" "In a kayak." "Yeah, but where?" "On the river." "I don't know where we're at." I mean, there were certain bridges you would go under that's like, "Oh, okay, now I know where we're at." But I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, if we would have climbed up on the bank, you would have been able to see some things more than what you could see. And so I think in life, all of us have a limited view. There's only so many things that God allows you to see on your river of life. Okay? Now, God sees it all. God knows it all. I had in my bag, and I didn't really ever take them out and look at them, I had printed out from Google Earth, all right, a map of all the different things. But you know, quite honestly, looking at a map, unless I followed it little curve by curve, I probably wouldn't have been able to tell where I was at anyway, okay? So we all have a limited view, all right? So we all have to do it ourselves. We all have a limited view. One thing about the river, it's a place of no return. Now, you're going to see like, "Brother Chad, but you can go back upriver. You can paddle back upriver." Notice they're laughing? All right? Nobody really wants to paddle back upriver. Now, if you've got a motor, that's one thing. You don't really want to paddle back upriver, okay? Now, could you? Yes. And did we? Very, very short periods of time? Yes. But nobody wants to go that way. Everybody's always heard the saying, "water under a bridge." You know why they say that? Because water only goes under the bridge once. Okay? Now, "but Brother Chad, don't you know about the cycle of water and it all goes back?" Okay, it goes under. All right? And listen, you've got one chance to live today.
Yeah, right.
You're going to have one chance tomorrow to live tomorrow. And then after that's done, quite honestly, you can't go back. Okay? You can't go back. And we came into some spots where, you know, we were paddling, but the wind, as we read in Matthew, the Bible says the wind was contrary to them. Okay? And you know what? The wind was contrary to us. It was blowing in our face, and the waves were coming and hitting us. And here's the thing. You don't stop at those moments. In fact, if anything, you paddle harder. When the waves are coming at you, you paddle harder. Why? Because it does you no, honestly, if you think about it, it does you no good to really stop and rest. Okay? Because listen, you can stop when you get around the next bend and the wind's not blowing in your face. All right? But if you just stop, where does that send you? It's going to push you back. Okay? So it's a place of no return. And then, I believe the river was a place of obstacles. I want you to think about this. River is a place of obstacles. Now, there are some obstacles that everyone have to go through, okay? Let's say, for instance, a storm. everyone on the river goes through the storm. But not everyone on the river has to get stuck on a sandbar. Right. Yep. That make sense? Okay. Everyone on the river is going to maybe have wind, but not everyone on the river is going to get high-centered on a log. Okay? Some things in life, folks, we don't have a choice about. But there's a lot of things in life that cause us grief that if we were wise and we were prudent, we could avoid. Okay? But there's obstacles regardless. Some are by our own negligence. Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Okay? Now, that's why I told the young men, you got to read the river. See what's up ahead of you and go around it. There's no reason to, you know, well, I'm gonna see how well I can get through this log jam when there's a clear channel on the other side. Okay? You go around it. And if the water looks like it's shallow, you find the deeper channel. And so many times in life, we get upset with the bad things that happen. And I understand, like I said, there's some things that happen to all of us. Okay? And you don't have a choice in it. Remember, you can't go back. The second day, I don't know which one, we was given a hard time. We're like, well, you can just go home. Okay? Now, we're almost to Bloomfield. For him to turn around and paddle back home is kind of foolish, right? Okay, and that makes sense because nobody's going to paddle back up that way. And so you can't go back, so you got to go through it. So it's important to understand what you see in front of you. Understanding is to mentally take apart and evaluate. I was thinking, I've been reading some a book from Dr. Mike Holloway, and he was doing a commentary in the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know, Solomon was obviously the wisest man that's ever walked the earth, right? Okay? He had it, the wisdom. But for some reason, he didn't apply it in a lot of areas of his life. Okay? And I'm afraid sometimes we have the knowledge. Well, if I'm gonna get around this log jam up here, I got to go this way. But for whatever reason, we don't. Okay? Well, knowing how to paddle and knowing how to get around something is one thing. Making the decision to do it is another. Okay? You know, when you're going around the river, the one thing I noticed, and I've not been on the river much, and so some of this I'm learning, honestly, and I've been talking to guys that have been on the river to try to figure out how is a better way to fish? What am I trying to do? I'm trying to gain understanding of what I'm up against because I don't know, okay? I've not done it much. But, you know, sometimes I have to cross from one side of the river to the other side of the river to get the deep channel because there wasn't much water when we went, okay? In fact, I told the guys, I said in Sunday school, typically, if you turn your kayak over and you feel like you're drowning, just roll over and you'll probably be okay. All right, you can probably breathe. It's that shallow. But so many times in life, we don't make the right decisions because of whatever. But that's our fault. That's my fault. Okay, so don't blame everybody else if you did something stupid. All right. So we started out on the Eel River, and the first day was gorgeous. I don't know how we could have had better weather, honestly, to do what we were doing. And we start down, and it was beautiful. You know, the leaves were still changing, so we got to see all the leaves changing. It was warm enough. The fish were still active. You'd see the fish jumping up out of the water. It was really cool. The different bridges that we went through, and where old bridges used to be, you'd see the bridge abutments still standing there. And you know, as I was going down, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was something, I had worked a lot of hours the week before. Honestly, I didn't want to go. It was one of those things, it's just like, it's on the calendar, I got to do it, but I don't really want to do it. And so we were on this trip, but in a lot of ways, I was just able to relax and I was enjoy it. And I got looking at everything as we're traveling. Okay, down the bank. Yeah, I'm looking ahead. I'm looking for obstacles because I don't want to be foolish, but I'm also just admiring what God has allowed me to see that day. Amen. I'm watching the leaves, and you know, my heart says, "Thank you, God. That's beautiful." I'm watching our guys, and I've got a thankful heart to the parents. I got a thankful heart to God, and thank you, Lord, for this. And just all the little things that I was able to just look at and see. I was enjoying it. These were miracles, okay, if you would. There's kind of what the disciples had just, man, this is awesome. This is amazing. We just saw the feeding of the 5,000. This is great. I'm seeing all this stuff. It's amazing, okay? And we saw a river otter. I've never seen a river otter in the wild, so that was pretty cool. So just different things, the sun shining through the leaves, different bridges, like I said earlier. It was a lot of fun. The guys were singing. We didn't see much wildlife because the guys were singing. But we had an enjoyable time. And you know what I was thinking? I was just over and over. It was just one of those things like, thank you, Lord. That's great. This is awesome. You know, it's that weather where you had to start with a jacket in the morning. You're in a long sleeve shirt by the afternoon. And, you know, at that point, we'd only kayaked, you know, 5-6 miles. So you felt pretty good, you know, at that point. And it was beautiful. We got all the guys off. We all had our life jackets on. And maybe I shouldn't tell this part, but we all had our life jackets on. And then I'm starting to poke the water, Brother Tom. And most of the water is like this deep in most places. And then I'm like, man, this life jacket's annoying. All right, so I take my life jacket off. And I know I shouldn't do that, okay? But I did. But honestly, the deepest spot we ever, I was probably up to here on my paddle, so I could have still stood up and would have been okay. I took it off, and I'm like, man, this is great. And we enjoyed it. But what I did is I got all three, and you can ask them. I got all three of the guys, and we shoved them out from where we started. We shoved them out in the water, and I was the last one. And pretty much for most of the first day, I was either behind them or right with them. Okay, and one of my thoughts was, okay, if something does happen, all right, and they flip their kayak over, it would be a whole lot easier to be coming up behind them than it would be to have to turn around and go back upriver to help them. Okay, so I was kind of behind them. I've known from previous kayak trips that many times what happens is people go gung-ho for the first, 2 hours, and then, after that, they're shot. So I'm like, I'm just going to, take my time and enjoy it. And that's the way we spent the first day, all right? We killed a couple squirrels, and we're ready. We was going to eat that night. So when we got to the White River, where the Eel River meets the White River, that's where we camped. Dead on the spot where the White River and the Eel River meet. And right behind us was a beautiful bluff, a rock bluff where we camped, and it was beautiful. Great place to camp. And we had fun. We had to dry out some sleeping bags and other things that had managed to get wet. But we camped out that night, and it was beautiful. The next morning, we get up. Well, you know the old saying, red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Well, it was a beautiful sunrise. Beautiful sunrise. And it was over the White River because it was coming towards us, and we were on the White and Eel. We just see that beautiful. And you know what? I sat there in the morning, and I just looked at it. That night, obviously, I'm camping. Couldn't sleep real well. But I could flip back the tarp, and you could see, beautiful sky, crystal clear sky. You just see all the stars. You know what? I just kept thinking, God, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I took the time. I'm glad I took the opportunity. Because, listen, not everybody has the opportunity to go do what I get to do, okay? I'm glad I had the health. I'm glad I had the opportunity. I said, God, thank you. Look at all this. And I get to be just a small part of it. You would think that we was like Lewis and Clark, going down the... I don't know which one he... Never mind. But, obviously, there's been thousands of people that have gone down the same river that we did, okay? We weren't any exception, okay? But it was neat to be able to see. It was neat to be able to to do that. So we camped where the White Eel River meet. We started going down. The weather started changing just a little bit. It started getting a little overcast, and no big deal. We all had pretty much put our jackets on, and we was going down, and there was a really pretty, in one of the curves of the White River, another really pretty bluff. And that's, those of you on the prayer chain, that's the picture I sent, was the three guys in front of one of those rock formations. And it was beautiful. You come around this bend, and there's this, I mean, it's huge, all the way across there. And I was just like, God, thank you. That's beautiful. I mean, not everybody gets to see this. I mean, honestly, how many people in Greene County have ever been able to see that? Very few percentage, okay? Maybe there's, besides us four, there's probably less than five other people in this room that have ever seen that, okay? Why? Because it's not on the beaten trail. You have to go someplace. You have to be able to see it. And I thought, man, that's great. What an opportunity to be able to see this. We saw, I didn't honestly keep track. I think we saw probably over a dozen different bald eagles. And they were mature bald eagles. So they had the white plumage. So that I think they say at least 5 years old. And then I think they were probably juveniles, a lot of others that were with them. I mean, they were just all up and down that part of the White River. It was neat. You know, you don't see that around here a whole lot. So, I thanked God for that. And then, I don't know what time it was. It was probably 11 o'clock or so. The wind started picking up. Now, I want you to listen to me, because this is where, I guess, kind of the message really comes into. That was all kind of introduction. The wind started picking up, and honestly, the kayaking got kind of tough, okay? Now, I was already tired. Like I said, I worked a lot of hours. I worked almost 100 hours, 95, 96 hours the week before. I was already tired. I didn't really want to go, okay? I'm glad I did. I don't have any apologies. It's just, you know those things that come up, you're like, oh, I got to do this, but I don't really feel like doing it. It's one of those things. And the kayaking, man, it was starting to get, I mean, the wind was blowing, and it was starting to get kind of tough. You didn't feel like you were making progress, but you didn't really feel like you was making much progress, okay? But you were paddling harder than you were before. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why am I working harder and I'm not going as, listen, that's life a lot of times. Sometimes it's just like I am paddling for all I'm worth, but I don't feel like I'm going nowhere. And I'm getting more tired. I'm getting more burnout. I just, you know, I wanted to sing that Patch the Pirate song. I want to go home. Please, Mama, come and get me. You know, I did. But being the leader, you know, being the leader of a group of adventurers, I didn't want to admit that. So I just kept my mouth shut and let them narrate whatever they were narrating. And, but you know what? I did. I was like, man, I just want to go home. I want to eat real food. You know, not that squirrels aren't real food, but I mean, rather meager portions to split two squirrels among four guys. Okay. So it was, we were, you know, famished to say the least. And I was like, why am I out here paddling against the wind in a kayak? Okay. I just want to go home. But here's the thing. Remember, it's a place of no turning back. I can't just stop on the riverbank and say, I'm done. I'm going home. No. You know, the best way to get home is to keep going. Okay, the best way to get through it, sometimes you're going to get tired, sometimes you're going to get stressed out, but you know, sometimes, what are you going to do, just curl up in a fetal position and quit? That does nobody any good, okay? You know, what would you think of the guys if they saw Brother Chad be like, I pull up on a sandbar and I curl up and I lay on my kayak and go ahead guys, just leave me, you know, tell my wife I love her, you know, I mean, at some point, it's just some waves that's creating opposition, okay? Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, I'm hungry. I wasn't really thirsty. We had stuff to drink. But, I don't necessarily want to be in that position at that moment. But I'm there. This is where I'm at on the river. All right? So the wind started to blow, and we'd get reprieve. We'd go around a corner, and it'd be sheltered. And it was, you paddle real hard while the wind's blowing against you, and you get around the corner, and it's like, you just kind of lay your kayak, your paddle there, and you just kind of rest for a little bit, okay? And it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. And then it started to rain, okay? It started to rain. And I was doing fairly good at staying dry. Some of the others, not so much. Anyway, but then it started to rain, okay? And that about did it. I'm like, why am I? Okay, the wind's blowing against me. I'm tired. I'm hungry. And it's, I'm kind of just whining right now, if you didn't notice, okay? I'm tired. I'm hungry. I want to go home, all right? And then it started raining, and, I'm wearing glasses, so water's getting, I got to wipe my glasses off, and I'm getting wet, and it's not like you're getting soaked. It's just miserable, okay? It's just that pesky rain. And so it started to rain, and it was just kind of a miserable rest of that part of the trip, okay? Here's the thing, though. The whole last part of the trip, I really can't tell you what was on the bank. I lost sight of the bank. Because here's the deal. The truth of the matter is the bank never changed. The bank was always there. I just didn't see it. You know why I didn't see the bank? And I didn't see what I saw before on the way down? All the different things I told you about that I thanked God for? I didn't see any of that. You know why? Because I wasn't looking at it. All I was looking at was the waves that were in front of me. And I am being very transparent here. I'm paddling, and I'm watching the waves hit the front of my kayak. This is stupid. Why am I even out here? Okay, and I'm not for telling fish stories, all right? But, and I'm not joking. Like, there's like 12, now you say, bro, Chad, it's just a 12-inch wave. All right, on a 6-inch kayak? I'm like, I got like way, I feel like, the lost ship or something trying to get home. And it's like, it's really not that bad, okay? It's really not. But that's not the way I felt at the moment, all right? Now, I'm just kind of venting, I'm complaining, I'm telling you what I was actually feeling, all right? And if these guys were truthful, they would tell you the exact same thing, all right? What happens is so many times in life, we've thanked God, man, what do we say? God is good all the time. Oh, God is good all the time. God is good. God is good. God is, look at the beauty around us. And then the wind starts blowing.
Yeah, right.
And then we're like, oh man, how am I going to get through this? And we start, and we do. God doesn't, God didn't give me a trolling motor on this trip. He gave me the strength to get through it. But I still had to paddle. I still had to put the effort in. All right? And so many times in life, it's just like we get so fixated on the problem in front of us. And it's right in front of us. I wasn't any longer, I was looking up ahead a little bit, but before I was looking 100, 200 yards up the river to see what was up ahead of us, to be able to see any wildlife, anything like that. Not now. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking at the wave right in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. I'm just hoping that around the next bend, and your back is tired, your shoulders are tired, but you can't stop. You got to keep going. But the problem is, I'm still, despite all that was going on beside me, I'm still fixated on the wave in front of me. Instead of being thankful, I started looking at the waves that are in front of me. I couldn't complain to anyone else. All right? There again, being the leader of the group. All right? But in my mind, I was complaining. All right? Not that I wasn't like ridiculous, but I was. I was like, man, I am tired. I wonder if those other guys are tired. Because I'm tired. All right? I'm not going to ask them, show weakness. You can't do that. I was tired. But here's the thing. I started to look at the waves instead of the bank. I stopped being thankful of the bank, of the things around me, because of the opposition in front of me. So we set up camp. We were wet. We set up just a short temporary camp. I thought maybe the rain would pass over. I thought maybe it was just a small shower. As of Sunday, when I looked at the weather, it wasn't a real high percentage of rain on Tuesday. Well, that changed to like 100% that I didn't know. So we set up camp. We managed to find enough dry wood to get a fire going. So we were trying to warm ourselves up just a little bit. Thankfully, and I do thank the Lord for this, you know, it wasn't cold, so it was, I didn't have to worry about the guys getting, you know, real sick or anything, because they were all soaked too. We set up camp. I called my wife and said, hey, what's the weather look like? Because I knew we was coming up on Bloomfield. My thought, I was planning on going to Newberry, which would have been basically another day almost of kayaking past that, okay? I called my wife. I said, well, she's like, well, it's 100% chance. It's like she gave me all the numbers. Basically, it was like 90 to 100% chance of rain. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but I didn't really feel like sitting out all night. We couldn't find dry firewood. All of our stuff was soaked. I didn't feel like camping out another night. So that's the reason I chickened out and we left early, okay? Paddle up that creek. I was like, all right, guys. I was like, let's go. Let's get to Bloomfield. There's a storm. This was probably probably 2 o'clock or better. And I said, we got to get to Bloomfield. I was like, there's a thunderstorm supposed to be here at 4 o'clock. I'm like, I really don't want to be in a thunderstorm, okay? And so I'm like, all right, let's get going. And so two of the guys, they got in their kayaks. So I'm trying to get stuff picked up. You know, I said, set up a temporary camp. And two of the guys get in their kayaks and shove off. And I'm like, thanks, guys. Don't worry, I'll get it, you know. Michael, he ended up staying. And they weren't, it wasn't like they were just taking off. They just, I said, let's go. So they're like, let's go, you know. So I'm trying to get the tent or the tarp folded up. You know, I'm trying to be good with Smokey Bear and put my fire out, you know, and all that stuff and prevent wildfires, even though it's raining. So I'm trying to get all this stuff. Michael stayed and helped me. And by this time, the other two guys are, you know, they're just by floating, you know, they're down the river a little ways. I'm like, all right, Michael, let's go. Because at this point, you know, there's a certain amount of you when you're going through a hard thing. It's like, I got to get through this. We have to endure. And then when somebody says, here's the finish line, it's like, oh, I'm checking out. You know, I'm done. All right, I'm almost there. All I got to do is get to the finish line. And that honestly was my mentality. All I got to do is I got to get to Bloomfield, okay, before I get soaked completely. So that was kind of my mentality. The other two guys had already left. Me and Michael got out in the water. And like I said, at this point, I was just, all right, let's go. Gung-ho, you know, get the galley slaves up or whatever and start paddling, okay? So we're paddling down and the two guys chose a not so deep part of water as they're traveling down the river. Well, they get hung up on a sandbar. Well, I'm transparent, all right? Just forgive me. Forgive me, guys, okay? I still have a little bit of bitterness in my heart for them leaving me back here. You know, and I believe firmly that if you see somebody make a wrong decision, you should not repeat the wrong decision. So I'm paddling and, you know, so this is what they do. This is their... You would think these guys were dying. You know, they're like, gotta cross our Delaware. You know, like they're George Washington trying to get across to the British or whatever. And it's like, guys, it's the White River and you're stuck on the sandbar, you know. And so they get their paddles out and they're trying to push their way off. Instead of
you know, the water's 4 inches deep or whatever, and they've all got rubber boots on. Instead of getting up and, you know, walking across, you know, and then every time they pull their paddles back out, their kayak goes backwards. And so me being the good youth pastor and being slightly vengeful, I'm like, fine, I'm just going to leave them, you know. They left me. You know, I don't believe in this no man left behind thing for sure. You know, forget that. So I, and Michael's behind me, and so we obviously don't do the same mistake that they do. And we go down, and but like I said, at this point, you know what, I'm done. I'm just like, I've been patient, but I'm at the end of my patience, all right? I'm wet, the wind's in my face, I'm not seeing any blessings anywhere. I'm going home, all right? Now, at this point, I don't know what they were feeling like, but I was, like I said, I was tired. But there's always that last bit of, little bit of reserve, you know, that's like, okay, I can see the finish line. I couldn't. I think the finish line is a few bends ahead in the river. I'm going home. And so, man, I put my paddle in deep, and I'm just pulling and pulling. Well, I eventually outdistance, partly because they're stuck on the sandbar, but I eventually outdistance them. And I'm going along, and I'm paddling, and here's the thing. All I could think about is, man, my shoulders hurt. That's honestly what I was thinking about. This stupid wave. Really. I was looking at the waves in front of me instead of looking at the bank. I lost sight of the bank. But here's the second thing tonight. I was thinking about myself and the way I felt and how I was having a hard time. Remember how the first day, the first part of the trip, I either spent with the guys or behind the guys. And it wasn't because I was necessarily following them. I mean, we all had to go the same direction, okay? Although it was funny to see them make mistakes. That was comical, all right? But I was, why? Because I was concerned about their well-being. But the whole last part of the trip, and I apologize for this, guys, but the whole last, not the whole last part, but most of the, that last little stretch, probably the last 3 miles that we traveled on the river, all I thought about was, I want to go home. I feel bad. They're stuck on the sandbar. I'm going home. And there was times I looked behind me, and even Michael that had gone with me in some of it, I mean, he was closer than the other two, but I looked behind me, and you know, a lot of it depends on the bends of the river. I couldn't even see him behind me. Now, maybe parent, I maybe shouldn't have told the parents that, but they're big boys. They'll be okay. But you know what the problem was? Is I started looking inside at how I felt about it, and I stopped caring about the others. The first night, I shot 2 squirrels. Well, I shot them, so I should be able to eat them. Guys, these squirrels are delicious. You can't have any because you didn't shoot any. No, you know what I've done every camping trip? You can ask any of the guys that's gone with me. All right? I'll shoot more than anybody else, guaranteed. Okay? It's never not happened. Okay? You know what I always do? Here. You got to clean it, but here. It's yours. You know what? It's caring about others. You know what I didn't feel like at that moment? Because of what I felt inside, I was tired, I was sore, my back hurt, my arms hurt. We're almost 25 miles into this trip. I didn't care about the guys behind me. They'll make it. They'll be all right. But you know what? They had gone the same 25 miles I had gone. And I'm proud of them for that, honestly. They didn't complain except for the good nature. You know, everybody's going to have the good-natured ribbing and stuff like that. They didn't complain about it. They may have wanted to, but they didn't. But you know what? I was so centered on the way I felt that I couldn't even see
You know what happened to Peter? The Bible says he had faith. And I'm proud of Peter. At least Peter went out. Okay, we talked about Peter in Sunday school. At least Peter followed Jesus to the, you know, everyone out. Peter and John were the only ones that followed Jesus to the Sanhedrin. And we knocked Peter, but Peter's the one that stepped out. But what happened? The same thing that happened to me. The Bible says, and when he saw the waves, that they were boisterous, he lost sight of what he should have been looking at and started looking at what was right in front of him. Oh man, look at that wave. I can't. And he lost sight of the what about all the blessings that they just seen with the 5,000 being fed? What about the Christ that could feed 5,000? Don't you think the Christ that could feed 5,000 could keep him above water? But what did he do? He said, well, what about these waves in front of me? I can't do this. And he lost faith. I wonder if, and I don't have a verse per se, but you know, Peter said, I'm going to go a fishing. What was that after? It was after Jesus was crucified. Wonder if he thought, I after I was kind of studying this, I wonder if he thought, yeah, but I gave everything to him, and man, I'm hurting. Forget this. I'm going to just go do my own thing. Forget everybody else that I could invest my life into. I'm going to go a fishing. That's kind of what I felt like. I'm just, forget all these other guys. All right, I know I got to get them home, but we're going to get to this bank up here. All right? Listen, folks, so many times in life, and this is what God convicted me about, probably more than anything on this trip, is you didn't enjoy the last 5-6 hours of the trip because of a problem that was in front of you. You didn't help these other guys enjoy the last 5 or 6 hours of the trip as much as they could have. Why? Because of the way you felt inside. Listen, it happens to all of us. We all go down the river of life. You're all going to have obstacles. We're all going to have things that we go through. But if we're not careful, we get so self-centered and so self-absorbed that we don't see the... Man, look at all the blessings around us. Amen. Look at everything that's around us. Where we stopped, guys, right on the other side, we seen the edge. But remember I said that we have a limited view being in the river? On the other side of that, what we thought was just the bank, that was a dike. On the other side of that dike was probably a 15, 20 acre lake that we never stopped to look at. We never stopped to see. Why? Because we were fixated on this problem in front of us. And folks, I know for me, I felt bad about that I stopped caring. Okay? Everything I've always done on these trips, I try to help and I try to, but I was, I've worked a lot, but that's no excuse. Okay? Yeah, I had traveled 23, 24 miles. So had they. Yeah, but I had the wind in my face. So did they. Yeah, but I didn't have much to eat. Neither did they. Although, somebody snuck hot chocolate into their bag. Did Brother Chad get any? No. Share my squirrel with them again. No, you know what? They had gone through the same thing I had gone through. They'd gone down the same river. They'd gone down the same river. And if we're not careful as Christians, we tend to get so self... Listen, tomorrow, this is the month of November. You know what our culture has already done? They've looked at what's in front of them. They're going to go the whole month of November without ever being thankful for anything. Because they're fixated on Christmas. What's the next thing? I saw it today. A guy's putting up Christmas decorations. He took his Halloween decorations down. He put up Christmas decorations today. What is that? We have ceased to be thankful.
Man, just be thankful. But we get so fixed, and the devil is great at fixating us on the wave in front of us instead of the beauty on the banks beside us. Tomorrow, what are you doing tomorrow? What's your plan for tomorrow? What do you have scheduled for tomorrow? Well, I got this and this and this. And how many other things are going to go past you and you'll never even say thank you for them? Why? Because I got to go to the next thing. Let's just stop and slow down and say, I told the teens today when we got off the bus, I said, here's your assignment for the month of November. I want all of you to take a piece of paper, and every day I want you to write one thing down that you're thankful for. No repeats. You know, by the end of November, they got 30 different things that they're thankful for. And you know what I told them? I want to bring them back, and we're just going to look through them, and we're going to have fun together as a group. And we're going to look through them and say, they were thankful for this. You know what that does? It brings back a memory. It brings back something that they were thankful for. Hey, what about tomorrow? Are you just going to go through all day tomorrow and be like, well, this didn't go right, and this didn't go right, and I didn't get this done, and I didn't get... And we traveled a whole day down the river of life and never saw anything. Never saw a single blessing. Why? Typically because it's something that didn't go the way we wanted it to go. Okay? Listen, folks, let's just slow down in life. Let's take some time to thank God. Man, God, thank you for those. Thank you for the trees. Pastor put it on the sign. I'm going to word it probably not right. But, you know, take some time. While, as you enjoy the beautiful fall colors, take time to thank your Creator. Thank Him. Thank your wife, guys, for what she did. You know, I'm terrible about it. I walk in and, you know, I walked in the other night and I killed a deer and I got blood everywhere. Thankfully, not mine this time. You know, she just cleaned the house. Thankfully, I have a wonderful wife. You know what? How many times has my wife cleaned the house in a year? How many times have I thanked her? Honestly, just said, hey, thanks for keeping a nice house. Not very many. How many times have I thanked, you know, my kids will do something. Well, they're your kids. Yeah, but I can still tell them thank you. That's teaching them a good habit. How many times a church member does something or, oh, by the way, whoever put the saw down in my, that just reminded me, whoever put the saw down in my office, thank you. I don't know who it was, but thank you. But, you know, church member does something for you. Tell them thank you. Right? Your pastor does stuff. Mrs. Ross, just say thank you. You know, thank you is a real simple thing to do. But so many times we get so busy, so focused, and then I stop caring. Well, I just had a bad week. What? Listen, if one of them would have really had a problem, I don't know that I would have been actually close enough to come help them. Thankfully, no, nothing did. And like I said, it was shallow. They could have just stood up. But I'm glad nothing happened to them. Why? Because at that moment in my life, I was pretty doggone selfish. Why? Because I didn't feel good. I wanted to go home. All right? Bible says, lift up your eyes. Psalms 121, verse 1. Psalms 123, verse 1. Lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Take some time this week and praise God for things He's given you. Take some time this week and thank others for what they've done or who they are or what they've given you. Let's have this month of November be a month of thanksgiving instead of looking at all the problems that we have. You're missing everything that's beside you. Let's thank God a little more this month. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this lesson. God, thank you for knowing that we're not the only ones. Peter did the same thing. And God, we get so fixated on what's in front of us, what's immediate, that we forget about all the blessings that you've given us. We forget about what we've just seen. God, help us to help me, Lord, me personally. Help me to be more thankful. Help me to be more caring for those around me. And just help me to be a better daddy. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better church member, employee.
Lord, just help me to be better in all these areas and put self aside. And Lord, help us to be better for you. Help us to honor you. Help us to glorify you. Help us to praise you for who you are. The book of Psalms is just full of it, God. And Lord, I pray that we would take some time, read some of those things, and just allow our hearts to be touched by it. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.